getting ready for the service. And I wrote this word strong, S-T-R-O-N-G. And I began to write something down about that, jotting down a few notes. And inside where it says pastor's heart to heart in the bulletin this morning, it says, how strong are you? And the word strong spelled down, if you took each letter, I said for the S, it stands for standing. For the T, it stands for true. For the R, it stands for regardless. For the O, it stands of. And for the N, nothing. And the G is give way. So when you say it like this, it says being strong is this: standing true regardless of nothing giving way. How many, like in the video that we just seen, feel at times the water and the waves are just ready to pull you in, take you under? And it just seems like that's what's going on in your life. You're not alone. There's a lot of us that feel from day to day that this life and the pressures and the things going on just seem to be so overwhelming. I'm looking at this particular point. If I can find one of the young people from Sunday school class to come help pastor out this morning, I need one of the boys or the girls that feels like they're very strong this morning, and I wanted to use them this morning and give a little illustration as we open up with some scripture verses this morning. I've found out that there's a couple of them that just started playing football over the weekend, so I know they got to be feeling strong. They got to put their football helmets on and do those things. Maybe there's one of the young girls this morning that says, you know what, I feel pretty strong this morning. I can help. And can I get a volunteer to help me real quick this morning? Is there somebody? Come on up. Hey, man, it's going to be real easy. You can stand right down there. That's good. And what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to read some scriptures. And when you hear the word strong or mighty, you got to flex your muscles and give us your best strong pose. Can you do that? You want to practice one time? Just give us a real strong pose. Flex your muscles up. There you go. There you go. He's got it down. He's got it down. This morning, okay, I'll give you the scriptures in just a minute. I'm going to give them a title first, and then I'm going to help you with the scriptures. I'm going to look to you, and you help me out. This morning, the message title is Strong in the Lord. So I had three verses to open up, and I'm going to get some help this morning. So when you hear the word strong or mighty, you know what to do. Psalms 24, verse 8 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Do it again. All right. Then Psalm 61, verse 3 says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from mine enemies. Psalms 89, verse 13 says, you have been a mighty arm, strong in the Lord. Amen. Give him a hand clap this morning. Thank you. This morning you might say, you know what, I don't feel very strong. I don't feel like I have the strength that I need to have. But this morning I want to give you some good news. Your strength is not enough. My strength is not enough. But when we have strength in the Lord, it will be more than enough to take us through every and all situations. Can someone say amen this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's some pretty impressive kinds of jobs and things to do in this life. You know somebody that might be a storm chaser. I don't know, maybe is there anybody in the congregation this morning that says, you know what, I like to go out and I like to chase the big storms down and just get as close to them as I can. And some people go out and chase storms down so that they can do some scientific research and help on the alert systems and all of that. But you know what, if you're a storm chaser, you have to have some pretty strong nerves about you, because most people in the eye and around the storms, what do? We run down and take shelter. But I want to remind you this morning that there is a God who's mighty and strong. In Mark chapter 4, it was Jesus who rebuked the wind and he talked to the sea. I'm telling you this morning, we might flex our muscles every now and then and say, you know what, I'm a storm chaser. But God is a storm rebuker. He didn't give it an opportunity to say, you know what, have your way. He told the storm what to do, and the storm had to obey. Hallelujah. So we might be storm chasers and think that we're big and strong, but God says, you know what? I don't have to chase the storm. I can speak to the storm and I can calm the wind. I can calm the waves and I can rebuke it. And you know what? That storm has to just run back to where it came from in the name of Jesus. What about electricians? How many have played around with this powerful thing called electricity? Maybe plugged in some things, hooked up some things, and the great big adventure of turning on the light switch and making sure that it works. Well, I'm not very good at electrical things. I do good and celebrate if the Christmas bulbs on the tree light up when we plug those in. I'm not playing around with electricity, but I want to tell you, that's a mighty powerful job. Think about the city you live in. There was somebody that had to wire it all up and get it where the power was running through so that your television works and your computer works and your iPad works and all these technology and all these things that we have are running on the electricity that somebody, men and women, went to school and learned how to plug in the electricity. Seems like a mighty strong thing to do, holding that kind of current and that kind of power. But let me remind you of the God in Genesis chapter 1 who didn't just plug in a house, who didn't just plug in a city, but this is the God that plugged in the sun and said, let there be light, and there was light for the world. Come on, I don't know if anybody's about to get a hold of this yet this morning. I'm talking about our strength is in God. Anything that we touch, anything that we do seems like just a very small thing when it comes to comparing to what God can do. I don't know how many of you are struggling with a need this morning, but it is something that God knows how to handle. I don't know if you understand this morning just how big God is. The Bible says that you and I have only begun to know half of what's been told about Him. The eye has not seen fully God. The ear has not fully heard what God is and what God can do. But we have His Word and we know that Jesus is alive and full of power this morning. And you might have came in feeling weak and puny this morning, but lean on the strength of God and you can go home with blessings in your heart. You can go home with a new attitude. You can go home with a new direction for your life, for God is strong. I found another verse that I liked. When I was getting things ready for the service, I had somebody at work that asked me, he said, do you know what you're going to be preaching about Sunday? This was Friday afternoon, and I said, no, I've still got some seeking to do. I did not know the direction. You know what? Last Sunday was such a blessing of a service, and I didn't even get to preach the word. And you know what my mind said? It said, you already got one baked in the oven and written out and everything. Why don't you just plug it in and use it? And God said, that's not the one for today. And so you have to seek God. And so I was sitting at home Friday night, and the word strong came up in my spirit. And I'm telling you today, people are having a struggle feeling anything strong about themselves. Everywhere you look, things are being knocked down and taken away and given advantage of. I mean, children going back to school, the competition to make good grades, all the things in the hallways, the jobs are getting more and more competitive and hard to keep, and bosses are putting pressure on you and me and different things like that. The economy is telling us, you know, I just don't feel like I got a lot of power anymore, because every time I open up the checkbook or look in the bank account, there's another bill that's rising, there's another grocery thing that's going up, the gas pumps are going up, and all these things and the rumors of war and the actual wars and the chaos in the world, it has an effect on us to make us feel that though we're weak, but yet when we're weak, God is strong. I'm telling you this morning that God has not lost any sleep, God has not lost any of His power, God has not lost any of His ability. He is still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He knows how to care for the college campus kids. He knows how to get the family started. He knows how to mend the home and bring it back together again. He knows how to take care of little babies. He knows how to keep a church running. He knows how to help us to worship. He knows these things, and we just have to say, you know what? I'm not strong enough in myself, but I know a God who's mighty, who's strong this morning. Sometimes the Lord confirms things, and He has many different ways to do this. So I had this word strong in my heart. And I wrote down some things. I was thinking about the strong will. I was thinking about the strong mind. I was thinking about the strong arm. And I was going through some of these things. And I thought, Lord, is that where the message is going to go? And I just had it sitting there in my heart. And God, He knows who's going to show up. He knows who's going to be there. He knows the people that He's picked out and said, today's a day that you need to be in the house of God. And every time we come together, God brings a unique message. We were at the gas station, and we were getting gas, and I looked out the window. My wife had ran inside the gas station to do something inside, and there was a gentleman standing at the pump, and all I seen was the back of his shirt. Right across the back of his shirt were the same word, strong, S-T-R-O-N-G. And I thought, my goodness, that's one confirmation that God's doing something in my heart for the message. And then as I got home Saturday afternoon and we got done doing all the running and the things like that, I got to the mailbox, I picked it up, and one of the letters or one of the things I got in the mail, it was an advertisement, and it said this, show your strength. And I said to my wife, I said, that's twice that God's begin to confirm that He wants us to understand something about His strength in the message for today. And so I'm sharing with you that God is strong and mighty in power this morning. He knows you. He knows me this morning. He knows what we have need of. God is not weak. He's not timid. He's not afraid. He's not nervous. He's not anxious. But God is a God who said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, for in me you can face all these things. Here's one for you, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 has a passage in there that talks about the mightiness of God. How many of you like to go out and observe nature? Maybe you've been somebody to walk down into the valleys where the flowers and the rivers are, and you got to hike down in there a long ways, and it takes some endurance to get down there, and you got to have some stamina about your being to get into these places, and then you're going to get there and take some pretty pictures. My wife loves to take pictures like that. And then what about the mountain climbers? So you got valleys you go down in, and then you got to walk your way down into the valleys, and then all the hiking that you do to go up and up and up on mountaintops, and climbers go up these mountains, and the main reason they're climbing a mountain is to show the strength and stamina that's in them and the conquer sensation of knowing that they accomplished something. But I'm telling you that many of us feel like we're stuck halfway up a mountain. Many of us feel like we got down in a valley to see something pretty, but now we can't even look up and see good things happening. And I'm telling you about the God in Isaiah 40 that says, you know what I do with the valley? I just reach down and pick the valley up and make it straight, make a straight plane. And you know what God does with the mountains? He just grabs a hold of it and pulls it down so that it can be a path to walk straight out on. And then He says, I'll make every crooked path straight. I'll make every rough-edged thing smooth again. Come on, somebody needs to understand that you're here because God says He wants to do something in your life and give you strength this morning. We got some things going on, and we need to be reminded not one of us are Superman or Wonder Woman or whatever the new superheroes of the day might be. We're not going to be able to take care of every single need and function in all the ability that everybody thinks we ought to. You know, dad's got a lot of pressure. The kids think that dads are able to just do anything and conquer anything, but dads also have weakness. Moms are in the same category. They think that they can just put Band-Aids on everything and bake something and do good deeds and encourage and comfort the children every time, but there's times that a mother father cannot comfort what a child's going through. There's times that a father cannot bail out what a son or daughter has done. There's times when you cannot depend on earthly parents or earthly people or earthly things or goods. There's a time when you got to say, I need some extra strength. And I know that looking around, there's nobody that I can find that has this kind of strength. I'm looking to God now. I'm looking to the one who said he could save the world and did it by his own son, who went to Calvary and bled and died on a cross and said, I am the one that can forgive all the sins of the world, and no other man has ever been able to do that. Think about death. Who in this room is able to conquer death? The only one in this room that can conquer death is the Jesus that we're preaching about this morning, who was laid in a borrowed tomb, and he was there for 3 days, but then he rose up out of the grave, and there wasn't even a stone or a rock or anything else in the way that was going to keep him in that tomb, because he arose from the dead, and he was able to ascend back up to the right hand of the Father God, who says that I have a mighty right arm. I am a mighty God. I am strong in power. Power and in might this morning. Can you say amen that God is strong and mighty? Can you say amen that I need to know the strong and mighty God? Hallelujah. The sooner you and I realize that we're not strong enough, the sooner that you and I realize that we're not big enough, the sooner that you and I realize that we can't handle it all, it's okay. You know why the stress is in your life? Because you're trying to handle everything that's in your life. Stress is able to let go when you carry your burden to the cross and say, Jesus, I need some help. This thing is hurting me. This thing is killing me. This thing is destroying my life. I need some relief. And thank God there's still relief for today. You don't have to walk with a burden in your heart. You don't have to walk with anything that's hurting your spirit this morning. God can set you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. I don't want to stop believing in God. I don't want to stop believing in his mighty power. I don't want to stop believing that God can heal. I don't want to stop believing that God can deliver. I don't want to stop believing that God can save. I don't want to stop believing that God can set us free. I want to believe it this morning. Jeremiah chapter 17. I want to read verses 5 through 8 for the text this morning. The message is strong in the Lord. If you have that in your Bible and want to stand out of reverence for God's word as we read the text of the verses this morning, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath or a bush in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But thank God he brings good news. Number 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in him. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat comes. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us encouragement this morning. Let the weak say, I am strong in him. Let the blind say, I can see in him. Let the deaf say, I can hear in him. Let those that can't seem to put one foot in front of the other say, I can walk like a mighty warrior in him. I can draw my strength where no man is able to draw. I can go to the river and the wells of life that are in Jesus Christ. Lord, I desire to spread my roots this morning and grow in the rich soil of your word. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. John chapter 17, verse 17. It's a short verse. Jesus is praying. He's praying to God the Father. In that verse, he says, sanctify them. And he says, your word is truth. The word sanctify means that we have been made pure and clean from our sins. And we need to understand that, number one, only Jesus can sanctify us and cleanse us from our sins. Then the reason why I chose John 17, verse 17, is because he says to us that we are sanctified and reminded and clean and cleansed by his word. We got to be a generation that says, you know what? I don't want to go to a church where they just tell me good things and good people and good blessings happen. But I want to go to a church where the word of God is coming out and being made first, because it's the word that sanctifies us and tells us the truth the way it is. Jeremiah chapter 17 is the truth. The Bible says there that cursed is the man that trusteth in the arm and the flesh of man. Talking about strength. We got to get it out of our heads and out of our minds that we can trust, fully rely and depend upon some man or some woman in this lifetime. You may have come from a great family. Your grandma and grandpa may have been the best of the best. You might have had great teachers while you were in school. You might be a great person in your own character. But if you would be truthful and I would be truthful, we're not somebody that everything can be trusted to us. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all of the time. We don't have all of the ways to work out everybody's problems. You know what? You might start out working out somebody's. You get one phone call and your day's going by and someone says something to you and says, can you help me do this? And sure, I can help you. I'll be there. I'll help you. Then you get call number two and somebody else needs something. Can you come over here? And you might say, yeah, I can do that. But pretty soon there's going to be a number. Maybe it's 10. Maybe it's 20 in one day. And you say, my hands are in the air, Lord. I cannot meet all of these needs. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough resources. And we got to start telling people that we can't trust and depend on each of us to get everything done. Now, the word does tell us to love your neighbor as yourself. The word does tell us to do unto others as you would have them do unto us. The word does tell us, when you've been blessed and God has rewarded you in finances and abilities and gifts and talents, that we are to give of ourselves unto the Lord. But let me tell you, it's at the Lord's voice, it's at the Lord's command that you and I begin to move, because when you start to do everything that everybody asks you to do, you're going to break and you're going to be buried under the pressures of life. Sometimes the boss just loads it up at work and says, do this project and this project and this project, and they tell you to prioritize and make a list and get some things done, and every one of them are a high priority. How in the world are you supposed to get it all done? You got to realize that only by God can you know how to keep a sound mind and keep running through this life and do what we got to do. Jeremiah tells the truth. Cursed is the man that trusteth in the arm of man. See, it says man there, but it's also woman. It's talking about humankind. Now, that word curse, it's got a lot of negative weight to it. But really, when you think about it, when God says, God's not saying, I'm cursing you. God's saying you're going to curse yourself when you trust in man. Man is going to let you down. You and I realize, if you've lived long enough in life, that people end up letting you down. I'm not beating up on us together. I'm one of you this morning. I've let some people down this morning. But I'm human and I'm flesh. But the Jesus inside of me does not let anything down. The Jesus inside of you does not let anything down. The curse is just the opposite of a blessing. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had a blessing. The Bible said God blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. Enjoy what I've given you. Look at all these beautiful trees. Look at all these rivers. Look at all of this land. Look at all of these animals. Look at all this climate and all the weather. I've given it to you. Be blessed. Where do we get in trouble? The same place that Adam and Eve got in trouble. Where does a curse begin? When you put your trust in yourself or someone else. Eve began to trust in something that was not of God. Adam went along with it and said, you know what? Sounds like a pretty good plan. And that's where the mistake begins to happen. And that's where we fall and fail and we end up cursed. The ground got cursed. The labor pains of a woman got cursed. The creatures and everything there got cursed. Adam and Eve got expelled from the Garden of Eden and they had to live somewhere else out of the wonderful, beauty, pleasant place of the Garden of Eden. So we don't want to go there. We don't want to go where the curse lives. If you're looking for a man or a woman to bail out this world, don't do it. If you're looking for a mom or a dad to make everything in your life run smooth, don't do it. If you're looking for a pastor to straighten out everything in your life, don't do it. If you're looking for a song leader or a worship song person to sing you happy in the Lord, don't do it. If you're looking to your Sunday school teacher to help you learn every single thing that's in God's Word, don't do it. You got to trust in Him. You got to rely on Him. You got to go to Him. You got to go to the source. You got to be in the Word. You got to be next to Jesus. You got to know where the strength is and walk in the strength of Him and not the strength of everybody else. Don't depend on the name of your church. Don't depend on the things in your church. Depend on Him. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. Pray to Him. Seek Him. Enjoy Him. And blessings and promises and all these things will happen unto you. What happens when you're cursed? According to Jeremiah chapter 17, the number one thing that happens is your heart departs from God. When you begin to trust in something or someone, and I'm telling you, the world that we live in today, there's a lot of a list out there that's buying for your attention. Say, just trust me. Look at all the name brand products that are being sold in stores left and right every day, trying to convince you that this product is the best. You can trust this brand. And not only that, but there's men and women that are talking about all kinds of way to get to heaven, all kinds of way to get your life straightened out. If you just do these 5 steps or these 10 steps or these 12 steps, if you just listen to these tapes every day, if you just read this book and that author and watch this movie and do that thing. I'm telling you that we can't put all of our trust in those things. We have to trust Jesus. Go back and read the Bible for yourself. Go back and get on your knees before the altar of God and say, God, pour it into me. This is a book that was not written by men. This was inspired of the Holy Spirit, instructed out of heaven, and said, everything in this book is for your good, for your correction, for your reproof. For all things in this book are for you and I to learn and gain the knowledge of heaven on how to live. Number one, your heart departs from God. Anytime your heart departs from God, you already know you're cursed because you feel it. God's the one who made you. God's the one who formed you. When we depart from God, it's as though you're taking your heart and moving it to the other side of your chest and trying to live. It was designed to be in one place. God was designed to be the center of who we are. And when we depart from God, we're naked and we're void. So number one, the curse. How do I know if I'm living in a curse? Has your heart departed from God? Have you given up on going to the house of God? Have you said, I don't want to pray? Have you said, I don't need the Bible? I don't need somebody to tell me about Jesus. Don't give up on Him. Then it describes a picture. Get this. A lonely bush in the desert. This isn't a bush that's growing and producing and bringing out the attraction for others to see. This is a bush that's not very attractive. This is something that nobody's spending time to come visit. Nobody's using their cameras to snap pictures. The Bible says you're like a bush in the desert when you're cursed of God. You're in a dry and weary place. You've taken up an inhabitance. You've made your home there. You're living where the bush in the desert lives. You're living where no other people are. Nothing is being inhabited. It's a wasteland. It's not a pretty thing. And you don't have happy days. You don't have all the sunshine that, you know, that just makes you feel good. You have the kind of sun that dries you out, parches you. You know what happens in the curse? You can't see anything good. That's an important thing. If you're waking up every day and you're saying, I can't see anything good. I can't see anything good. I can't see anything good about my job. I can't see anything good about my husband, my wife. I can't see anything good about my kids or my grandkids. I can't see anything good about my church. I can't see anything good about me when I look in the mirror. I can't see anything good. You got to check in your heart and see if you've departed from the ways of God and started to live in a place in the desert like a bush that's abandoned and not able to do anything. It's a bad place. So the Lord said this, cursed. Cursed is the man who trusteth. The word trust and trust in has strength in it. It's a strong word. It's not a wishy-washy kind of thing. You can't say you trust in something 50%. You trust in something 75%. You either trust in it, or you don't. You either trust that that chair is going to hold you up when you sit in it, or you don't sit in it. You either trust that the person that you're getting married to, when they say I do, means it, or you don't. Let's talk about the blessing. I don't want to keep talking about the curse. Jesus begins to explain how we're blessed. Blessed is the man, the woman, the child who trusts in the Lord. You believe His word. You just believe His word. The headlines in the newspaper say bad. The report cards at school say bad. The doctor says bad. But God says good. God's the only one that said, I can take whatever the world has meant for evil and I can turn it and make something good out of it. I can take that old sinful nature of our flesh. And God says, I can use you to preach my word. I can use you to sing a song that will magnify me and help somebody rejoice. I can use you to sweep the floors in the church and make my house a place of beauty. I can use you to plant flowers on the grass and change the letters on the sign. I can use you in a classroom to tell somebody else how much Jesus loves them. God can do these things. But see, the scripture says you trust in Him. But then it goes on and says also you hope. Hope in Him. Hope is something about us that when we can't see it yet, I can't see heaven yet, but I'm hoping in heaven. I can't see yet when man is no longer affected by the sins of this life and has to put up with the enemy who's trying to rob, steal, and kill everything that God's given us. Can't see that yet. I can't see yet that I'm healed. I can't see yet that I'm totally forgiven of all my sins. But I'm hoping in the salvation of Jesus. I'm hoping that the word that says by His stripes I'm healed is on me. I'm hoping that by His word, when I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of all unrighteousness is for me. When He said He'll take my sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them ever again. I'm hoping in that. But then it describes the blessed person like a tree planted by the river. But there's something about a tree. Oh, we go to church. Moms and dad raised children, brought them to church. Grandma and grandpas raised them, brought them to church. So here we are, 3-4 generations down. Now we're in church together. We're a tree. We're by the river. Anytime you're by the river, Jesus has to be there. The river of life is him. The Holy Spirit, the water that springs up within us is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is blessing. So you've come to the river this morning. You're in the house of God. You're a tree. You're at the river. But here's something that has to be done by the trees. The roots have got to spread. The roots have got to spread. You see, God has made us in a way that we got a decision to make, church. We either continue to grow or we stop growing. And how does a tree continue to live? The roots have got to go searching. When a drought comes, the roots have got to go digging. When there's no rain that's falling on the land, the tree, even though he's planted by the river of life, even though he's planted by the rivers, he's got to spread out those roots. She's got to spread out those roots and find where the water is. Sometimes you got to go into more than one scripture in the Bible. Sometimes you got to come to church more than once a week. Sometimes you got to pray more than just 10 minutes a week. Sometimes you got to do some more things and let the roots on the inside of you spread out and get a little bit deeper. And then when it begins to spread out and get deeper in your life, guess what the Bible says? Then it's a reversal that happens in our life. When you're out in the desert and you're like a bush and you have nobody and nothing around you, and that bush says, I can't see anything good ever happen. I can't ever see myself getting out of the desert. That's a bad place to be. But when you become a tree that's planted by the river of living water and you begin to say, Jesus, I want my roots to spread out. I want to go deeper in this thing of Jesus. I want to know him more. I want to seek him more. I want to know his face. All of a sudden, now you're in a different place. Because the Bible says, now you can't see the heat. The bush in the desert only sees the heat, the pressure, the turmoil, all the bad, all the junk is piling up on the bush. It's just blowing by the bush and hanging on. But then when you're a tree that's planted by the river of life and your roots begin to spread, all of a sudden when the drought comes, you're not concerned. All of a sudden when the heat of the sun is out, you're not concerned. All of a sudden when they're saying, oh, be afraid, be scared of all the terrorists, be nervous, be anxious, be worried that something's going to happen. Your kids are going to get hurt at school. Somebody's going to get fired on their job. You know what? Just spread your roots out more. If your job is gone, God will give you a new one. If something happens, then God will restore. I remember the God that was God to Job in the Bible. God lost a lot. But he stayed faithful to the Lord and was able to see the good days of restoration. Hold on, church. Your strength might be gone, but God's strength remains. Be strong in the Lord. Spread your roots. You know what happens? Your leaves are going to stay green. The world may go down, but God's taking his church up. The world might take away, but God finds a way to give in to you, your needs, and meets your needs. And keep yielding fruit. You know what the most deadly thing of a church or a Christian is when we stop yielding fruit. Don't stop loving like Jesus loves us. Don't stop giving like Jesus has given to you. Don't stop having compassion for others. You got to pray this thing into you. Your roots have got to go deeper. People have hurt each other bad. Forgive like Jesus forgave. Let go. Jesus had to let go on the cross. Do you realize that? He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Do you know what that message is? Jesus said, I'm finally letting go. I've done everything I know how to do. I'm on this cross. I'm dying. I'm bleeding. I'm hurting. But you know what, God? I'm letting go. Into your hands, I commend my spirit. And he let go. Somebody needs to let go this morning. Just know that Jesus paid the price already. It's okay to let go. I'm going to finish. I had a little more, but I'm going to finish. Time's running out. You can go in and read some passages on your own. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Paul talks about when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. When God sees our weakness, he says, my perfection of strength is made. And when you're weak, I become strong. Sometimes the worst that we are is when we think we're strong enough and we don't need God. God, I can handle it. And we try. When the infirmities come, when we get sick, we try to beat it on our own. When the necessities of life come, we try to find a way to meet the bills. We do it on our own. When the persecutions come, we try to flex our muscles and say, we're tough enough to handle anything you throw at me. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if we'll be honest, we're not that tough. When someone cuts you, you hurt and you bleed. And what we've done is we've got real good at just having strong faces and telling everybody around us, you know what, I'm tough. You can't hurt me. That's a lie. Pain does hurt. Rejection does hurt. Fear does hurt. Loneliness does hurt. When people hold grudges, it does hurt. When people can't forgive, it does hurt. But we just have to realize that we're not strong enough in ourselves to forgive everybody. Go to God. Ask Him for strength to forgive. He'll give you enough. Ask Him for strength. Philippians 4:13 is the last verse for the day. We taught it to our kids when they were growing up. If you're blessed to have 10 fingers, you can remember this scripture. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a good way to memorize that verse, but I want you to hear the verse. I can. God can give you the ability to can do something. I can do all things. All things. You can make it through cancer. You can make it through divorce. You can make it through when a child runs away from home. You can make it through when a pastor abuses the church. You can make it through when people that work beside you say they don't like you. But you'll never make it through until you draw strength from the Lord. You can make it through when you got to sell a house. You can make it through when you got to buy a car. You can make it through when they raise your rent. You can make it through when your paycheck gets lost. You can make it through when your mom turns her back on you, when your dad rejects you, when your family gives up on you. But you have to know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't go home today pretending that you're strong enough to deal with everything in your life right now. Be honest with God. Can you put on a little bit of altar music? I want to ask the church to bow your heads. We all have went through times that we have felt like we're just strong enough to take the world on. We've also been in those places where we realize the world's beating us up, hurting us bad. You came to church this morning. I want you to do something. Call out to the one who's strong enough to handle all the burdens of our life. He rebuked the wind, said, don't do this. Had to stop. He plugged in the sun and said, light it up for the world. There was light. He can reach down with his hand and pull the valleys and make them a straight plain. He can take the palm of his hand and push the mountains down and make them level. Doesn't matter where you're at. God loves you this morning. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, first question I want to ask this morning is this. If you've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted Him to come into your heart, what does that mean? You're asking Him to come to the center place of your heart, forgive you of the old nature and set you free. Behold, all things are new. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. How do you do it? You say, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned. I've tried to be the he-man. I've tried to be the he-woman of my life. I'm trying to handle it all. Today I realize I can't. I need you. If that's you this morning, all I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand. And we're going to pray as a congregation for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What happens next is your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Should the day come when you pass away or the rapture, the trumpet sounds and the Lord calls us home, you'll stand before God and your name will be found in that book and he'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in eat of the good of the land." I'm going to count to three and I want you to raise your hand and we'll pray together and then we'll close in another prayer together. One, Jesus is the only one. Two, he sent the disciples out two by two and said, "Go tell them about me." Three, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They work together to come into your life. Raise your hand right now and say, "I want Jesus. I want him in my heart. I don't want to go another day without him. I want to live with him. I want to know he's in my life." Hallelujah. Church, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, without you, I'm lost. Without you, I have no hope. I need you. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Wash me and make me new. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to dismiss in just a few minutes, but while you're still praying, right where you are, be honest with God. This next prayer I want you to pray is I want you to just think about asking him for his strength in your life. You'll feel so much better on the inside, but it's more than a feeling. You can literally draw strength from God this morning. I'm just going to pray over the congregation, and you be welcome to pray on your own. If there's somebody here this morning that says, "Pastor, I would really like to be anointed and prayed for over a need," this altar is open. If you want to find a place of prayer, this is a place you can always do that. I want you to spend just about a minute or so talking to God and being honest with him about your strength level. Today's a day to get more strength from him and not you. It says like this in the Bible, "I must decrease, he must increase." Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I don't carry the strength within me to solve all the problems of the church. I don't carry in my own ability, all the knowledge and wisdom to guide my family through every path. I don't have enough strength in my own flesh to keep me from falling into temptation. But I know you. I know that you are mighty and you are strong. You're the mighty tower that I can run to when the enemy shows up in my life. I don't have to be worried or afraid that the enemy is going to win because you've already defeated him. When fear begins to rise up in my mind, I can thank you for your word that says you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Lord, I'm asking for your strength. You said we could come boldly before the throne of grace and ask in our time of need. God, there's a lot of stress in life today. There's a lot of burden and worry. But I just want more strength from you. Let the light of Jesus burn bright in me. Don't let me fade out. Don't let the word of God be left out of my spirit. Don't let me become cursed and depart from you and put my trust in some other person or some other thing or some other way. Begin to tell the Lord how much you love him. He loved you enough to die for you while you were a sinner. He gave everything he had. He held nothing back. I want to ask the church to stand this morning, and we're going to dismiss now. I want you to go home knowing you're blessed if you're a child of God. Say this with me this morning. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God bless you. You are dismissed. Take time to greet somebody and let them know you're glad they came to church with you. Tonight, service at 6 o'clock if you can make it. God bless you. You're dismissed.